You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the latest edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us again as we look forward to two events this week with the Paul Laurie Match Play and the Travellers Championship on the PGA Tour. Just the two of us this week. Dave Kellner joined by Dave Tindall to look ahead to these events. First of all, welcome.
Hello, Dave.
How are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you, yes. Bit of post-majors, that's it for another season-ish about me, but looking forward to another couple of good events on the tour this week, although one of them is very hard, isn't it, to fathom.
It is indeed. I'm sure you're alluding to the Paul Laurie Match
indeed,
Play
yes.
Championship, which we'll get to in due course, but let's start with last week, because I kind of agree with the common consensus that last week at Baltusrol felt like a standard PGA tournament, not a major championship. I think that was because of a culmination of factors. The change in the schedule, definitely an influence, with it coming 2 weeks after the Open Championship. The weather was appalling. The ground staff did a good job to get that tournament in over the course of the 4 days, in all honesty. However, it meant that we were lift, clean and place for the final round. There was no redraw for the final round either, so it didn't feel like a major championship.
No, there was funny things, wasn't there, in the final round, like Brandon Grace going out about 2.5 hours before the last, you know, pair, and whereas he was like fifth on the leaderboard or something, and then Robert Streb was in the last group, even though he wasn't, you know, he was about 10th or something.
It just felt, yeah,
and just the whole, I'm trying to sort of separate my own sort of grumpiness about it, because I had Rory and Sergio who both missed the cut, so I felt down on the tournament, you know, pretty much straight away when they had poor first rounds. And I don't know whether I would have thought it was a fabulous tournament had I been on Jimmy Walker, but I just, it was a bit of a damp squib, wasn't it?
It is one of those situations, though, because with us every single week, I think I can speak for both Mike, myself and you. We they're linked intrinsically, aren't they? Betting and golf, really.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's difficult to separate the two when you do have a poor major championship like we did last week. And it was frustrating. Jimmy Walker, didn't mention him on the podcast last week, but backed him in the Masters.
Yeah.
And then completely had given up hope on him contending in this major championship. But he closed it out well, in all fairness, didn't he?
Oh, he did, yes, and all those wins he's had in the last few seasons obviously served him well, didn't they? The kind of experience in the bank. But I have to say, I was absolutely nowhere near to picking him for this tournament on that course in that form.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So it was one that I could handle.
And four new major champions in the four majors this season. Is that a trend that you can see continuing, or?
Well, I thought this was the dominant era of Spieth, McIlroy and Day, and they didn't win any of them. So
yeah.
I suppose it's good for golf, isn't it? I mean, we have had a couple of proper, well, all four, you could argue, are very good winners, but certainly Dustin Johnson, Stenson had been knocking at the door a lot.
Yeah.
You never know with Willett. You know, who knows what he could be, even though he's had a dip. And Jimmy Walker might be one of these guys who just plays all his best brilliant golf later on in his career, or, you know, middle to late of his career. Mm. And he might win another one.
Let's get stuck into this week then, and we'll start with the Aberdeen Asset Management Paul Laurie Match Play. At least it's got the longest name of any tournament.
Yeah, try and say that without thinking Aberdeen Angus.
Yes. Alex Noren, I can't, hungry as well. Alex Noren, 12-1, along with Chris Wood here with William Hill. Matthew Fitzpatrick is 16-1. Mikko Ilonen, 18-1. Pablo Larrazabal is 20s. Callum Shinquin, 25s, along with Peter Uihlein and Richie Ramsey. And it's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. Start with the positives about this tournament, Dave Tindall.
Good luck.
It is a straight 64-man knockout, which is the way match play should be, in my opinion.
Oh, yes.
No second chances in match play. When you're bested over 18 holes, pack your bags, leave town immediately. So that's the good thing. The other positive could be the course as well. I've heard good things about Archer Field. It takes over from the Mercar Links in Aberdeen last year. And it, even though it makes it trickier for punters, it's nice to get a look at a different links course north of the border, in my opinion. And the course is likely to create some excitement as well. It's the Fidra Links, and it's a short course measuring just under 7,000 yards. All four par fives are reachable. So hopefully we'll see plenty of holes won with good golf rather than lost due to mistakes. So those are the two positives I've gleaned when looking at this tournament.
Yeah, it's in East Lothian, which is a wonderful part of Scotland. I've played a few rounds of golf around there, and it's just golfing territory. Everywhere you look, there's lovely golf courses. And yeah, it's built on some old land, I think, was kind of restored, wasn't it? I think it lies between two, is it North Berwick or something? I think it lies between two other courses,
right?
The land. And yeah, I think it should be a good one. It is. Everyone's absolutely mad for golf around there, so there should be some good crowds as well. But as for trying to pick the winner,
it's tough.
I've got 64 picks in this event,
yeah.
And that's my best hope of landing the winner, I think.
I think the negatives, I've mentioned the positives. The negatives are we hope for match play throughout the season, don't we? And when we get it, it's sandwiched between a major championship and the Olympics. And it is a Ryder Cup year, but we've probably only got three players that have any possible shot of making Darren Clark's Ryder Cup team at Hazeltine back in late September. And I think that's a stretch as well. I'm not sure.
Well, Fitzpatrick's on there as it stands, isn't he? He's in ninth, so he would make it.
Yes.
But he's kind of going the wrong way a little bit. He's in danger of getting caught. I think Noren's in about 20th. You know, Woods has got a chance as well. But
the injury to contend with, hasn't he?
It would have been nice to see some of the absolute locks for it playing, wouldn't it?
It would, but it just doesn't fit, does it?
Nah,
it
there's just, no way.
It was never going to fit in their schedule.
Unless somebody at the last minute thought, well, I'm not going to Brazil because of the health concerns, so I'll play this instead. There might be one who did that, possibly, but no.
Have you got a pick?
No, I haven't. I have to, with all the best will in the world, I've looked at it, and I'd just be throwing a dart, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've not got an official pick in the event. Let's mention who came closest if you were going to have a bet. I've got one, an Englishman, Callum Shinquin, was probably closest for me, but I don't like the price at 25-1, I must admit.
No, I looked at him, he won the English Amateur and he beat Fitzpatrick, and he's obviously, when you're a young player, you've had recent experience of amateur golf, because that's what they do, isn't it, as amateurs, they play a lot of match play golf. So he was one. Mikko Ilonen won the Volvo match play, didn't he? Beat Stenson in the final a couple of years ago. But again, his price is like...
18-1, I think you've got to... So you always say on this podcast, retrain your thinking though, haven't you? And the field is so lacking in any depth that those probably aren't as bad as we think.
They're not, but it's match play though, isn't it? That's sort of... If it was stroke play, I could just about adjust my sort of crosshairs and think, well, I just about cope with that. But, on any given day and all that. If you were looking for a strategy, I think you're just best picking someone at, 40s, 50s or something. You could even argue 66 or above, then you're getting better than if you pulled him out of a hat.
And you could say, that it's a course that's likely to suit the Bombers as well. I know that Hayden Porteous was on my mind, 50-1, because he can make lots of birdies and... hits it a long way, should eat up those par fives. The way I'd look at this, Dave, is pick someone that you think is a good bet to get through that first round match.
Yes.
And that's why Callum Shinquin appealed. He's in action against Eduardo de la Riva in his first round match. De la Riva shot 81 in Scotland and then withdrew.
Yeah, we don't know why.
I couldn't find out why.
I couldn't either. No.
But that looks like a good matchup for him. And Callum Shinquin's a man that has been in good form on difficult tracks as well and on links tracks.
Yeah.
Finished... was it tied 8th in the Scottish Open?
Top 10 at France
At France, which is another maybe links-like venue.
Yeah.
So I did like him at 25-1. He was the closest that I came to picking one of these chaps.
Yeah, I mean, there's others. I had a brief look at Jacqueline until I investigated his match play record, which he's played 5, lost 5 down the years in singles, which is a bit random, isn't it? But there it is. I don't quite know why. In terms of someone who might win their first round. I know, I think Oliver Fisher's playing Peter Uihlein. Uihlein's been out of action since May, so you'd think surely he's got a chance of going through that, but then Oliver Fisher's form is horrible, so then what?
And he's 100-1 and Peter Uihlein's 25-1. I'm hoping Callum Shinquin gets through the first couple of rounds and we have that rematch with Matthew Fitzpatrick, because that's the way
it's
ordered in the third round.
Yeah.
But maybe one of those events to see how the first round goes.
Yeah.
And then maybe pick someone out.
Yeah, one little mention. Michael Hoey did really well in this last year and he's been in shocking form, but he played in the Northern Ireland Challenge, which is not just like him and his mates, it's actually a challenge tour event in Northern Ireland.
Right.
And he did well there, so maybe he's just turned the corner and back playing a format he likes, 50s.
He needs to be out of form to win, Michael Hoey, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's done that before.
That's his
And he's done one in Scotland before, obviously, but I'm guessing.
Let's move on to the, I think this is the proper betting event this week, undoubtedly, the Travellers Championship on the PGA Tour. And Bubba Watson is the 12-1 favourite here. Brandon Grace is 14-1. Brooks Koepka is 14-1. Matt Kuchar is 20s. Patrick Reed is 20-1. John Rahm, Paul Casey, Zach Johnson, all 25s. And it's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. Again, it's all changed for a tournament on the PGA Tour schedule, with the Travellers that has been in recent years following the US Open moving to this slot now behind another major championship, this time the PGA. And the host course, TPC River Highlands, has also undergone something of a transformation, Mr. Tindall. Changes have been made to a number of the greens, and perhaps more importantly, 50 bunkers on the property have been removed, and the 69 that are left now have been reshaped, presumably, to make it more difficult for these touring pros. And some of the trees have been removed from the golf course as well. So it's been remodeled slightly, TPC River Highlands.
Yeah, and I can use that as a kind of an excuse or for my main pick having a poor record there previously.
Do you think it will change scoring? We don't know, do we?
Possibly. You tend to find these things are sort of overplayed, don't you? There's so many other things involved. But
I agree with you. I think sometimes...
I can't see anyone in their winner's speech saying, yeah, the 50 bunkers had changed. I think that made all the difference.
Yeah, I never liked it before.
Yeah.
But I do now. It's still an old school par 70, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a Pete Dye track as well, which I think is more important to sort of than little specific changes.
And if you are looking at Pete Dye courses that correlate, look at the others that have played on the PGA Tour. TPC Sawgrass, the Players' Championship, Harbortown, the RBC Heritage, and at TPC Louisiana, which hosts the Zurich Classic. So do look at those courses.
And we've had recent majors at Whistling Straits and Kiowa, so there are other ones.
Yeah, so do look at those correlations, because they are quite similar, aren't they, all Pete Dye tracks?
Yeah, they've all got the kind of threads that run through them, yeah.
I've got two picks this week for this event.
Me too.
Okay, I'll let you lead off.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kevin Chappell.
You better not win.
Why? Because you keep putting him up?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did tip him last week.
Let's give him another go. I just think in this field, the guy's a three-time runner-up on the PGA Tour this year.
Yeah.
One of those on a Pete Dye track at Sawgrass, which obviously he likes. He was also tied ninth at Harbortown, another Pete Dye. So clearly he likes his Pete Dye tracks. As I say, three-time runner-up this year. He's just gone a little bit quiet, but then... I don't mind. The last three winners of this event had missed the cut in the US Open the week before. So as it's moved to after a major, I don't think we should be too worried that it's moved, because it's still similar things, isn't it? Players had put a lot into the major. And
it wasn't a real major championship last week, though.
Well, it don't be awkward. I'm building a case here. I really like that about him. 11th in strokes gained tee to green this year, so he does strike his ball really, really well. There's a theory, I suppose the doubt would be that does he putt well enough, and those who've backed him would probably say, no, he doesn't. But if you look at his recent putting stats, they're quite good, actually. He was 18th in strokes gained putting at Firestone when he was third recently. That was good. 14th in putting average at Troon. We that's the only recorded thing we have to go on there. He also had positive SGP strokes and putting at Bolter's Roll, despite missing the cut. So
yeah.
I don't think that's holding him back at the moment. I think it's kind of coming round. So if he can just play his normal tee to green game. I think he's got every chance. Yes, he has missed two cuts here, but if you look at his round scores, he opened with a 66 last year, opened with a 67 the only other time he played it in 2011. And that was a week after he'd come third in the US Open. So, you know, maybe it was hard to keep it going after that. So I think you can cross a line through his course form here. I think the bottom line is he's a class act. He's 50 to 1 and it's a weak field.
Yes, 50 to 1, Kevin Chappell, Dave's first pick. I'm going with a guy that, again, you'd have reservations about his putting. Webb Simpson's my number one selection
close
here.
Close for me as well.
At 33 to 1. He's always enjoyed throughout his career these types of courses. And he's got a very good record on Pete Dye tracks in his career as well, Webb Simpson. Finished runner-up at Harbortown and at TPC Louisiana in the last six seasons. He's also been runner-up at Copperhead, which is another tree-lined course with correlations to this track. And it must be significant, I think, that he's put this event back on his schedule because he's not played here in a couple of years. The last time he did play at River Highlands was back in 2013, and he finished fifth. And that's one of two top 15s he's had in this event. And he's made the cut every single time he's played the tournament, all six times. His form coming in is very strong as well. He's only missed one cut in his last half dozen events, and that missed cut came at the US Open. He's been tied third at the Dean and DeLucia, tied 11th at Memorial, sixth at the Quicken Loans, and good performance last week at Baltusrol, where he finished 13th. And his ball striking has been very good throughout the season. He ranks 12th in strokes gained tee to green, 11th in strokes gained approaching the green, which is a very important statistic here, in my opinion. And I think on these greens, they'll help him because they're quite slow, these greens, so he can be quite aggressive. He ranks way down the list in strokes gained putting, but in three of his last four events, he's actually had his gained strokes on the field, on the greens. So he's coming good here, Webb Simpson, in my opinion, and I think this is a perfect layout for him. I'm actually quite confident this week, and I'm going to go 1.5 points each way on Webb Simpson at 33s.
Woohoo.
Yeah, yes. So I do fancy him. Everything's set. It's just whether or not the putter holds up, I think.
Yeah, no, I think it's certainly a fair each-way price looking at some. Look at the top, 12 to 1 Bubba. Bubba's really terrible at defending titles, isn't he? Really
bad. It's
weird,
that, isn't it?
Yeah. But, it's sort of weird, but I think knowing how his sort of brain works, I think it's sort of...
Do you think he gets distracted then by everything that goes, the pomp and circumstance that goes on around him?
You can certainly say that for the Masters where he's having to think about what food to serve and stuff, but just in the other ones as well. I mean, it's not easy defending. Rory's never defended, so it's just a given.
Yeah.
I think we were just used to Tiger going back to the same course every year and winning. But for most sort of mere mortals, and Rory too, it's just difficult, isn't it? All the sort of palaver that's involved. So Bubba, that puts me off. Grace played well last week, didn't he? Especially from tee to green. But if you look at this tournament, how players have contended the week before, certainly in the US Open when it was after that, they've performed really badly.
Mm. He did win at Harbortown though, didn't he?
He did. He's got that in his favour. 14 to 1's a bit short though, isn't it, I think?
I think I'd rather have him than Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, Koepka, well, he might even pull out yet, mightn't he, with his ankle?
Having to play 36 holes in one day in those conditions have been good for him.
If he's a doubt, I think he might just, there's a lot of big events still coming up. He might just knock this one on the head.
Yeah.
20 to 1, Matt Kuchar is like asking me to sort of look at wallpaper. It stirs no emotion in me at all. Sorry, Matt Kuchar, but it's just sort of,
I think you need to back Matt Kuchar to be top 5 or top 10,
yes,
don't you?
Yeah. So I can't have any response to that. But my second pick, are we ready for this?
Yes, we're ready for this. I'm glad I've not gone for anyone towards the head of the market there because you've just ruled them all out.
Yeah, they're all rubbish. My player is joint 6 favourite, so that's pretty head of the market. Zach Johnson.
Yes.
25 to 1, Zach Johnson. He's not won this year, which is unusual. You go back through his records. Since he won the Masters 2007, he's only had one blank year, 2011. So he's a guy who always notches up a win. And yet, you still get prices that are okay in fields like this, I think, 25 to 1. A lot of good form in recent times. He's been tied 17th or better in four of his last five starts. Tied 12th at the Open, which was on slow greens, and you said the greens this week you need to, you know.
Yeah, I was on him at the Open. I wouldn't put anyone off backing him at 25-1 this week.
Yeah, so that was good. Tied 12th at the Open. Before that, tied 10th at Firestone, tied 8th in the US Open, tied 17th at Colonial, and nothing too bad last week. Tied 33rd at Baltusrol. So there's a lot of good form. Course form, he was tied 6th here last year. Opened with a 65, added a 64 on Saturday. And he's had four of the top 25s and a third if you go back to 2004. And he feels it's a course that should suit him if his kind of short game's on. And
it should definitely suit him, really.
And his short game is on. He's actually said so recently. Pete Dye form, yep. He's a former runner-up at Sawgrass, runner-up at Harbour Town. Third at Whistling Straits in the USPGA 2010. I just think he's got everything pointing to him this week. And we've seen him, I think he does, we've seen him win events when he has gone off at like 16s. I think he's one of these who, you just get him on the right course, you accept it's not an amazing price, but he goes and wins for you.
Yeah.
So I think 25s is more than enough to get me interested. So I would just up my little stake there to 1.5 points like you've done with Webb Simpson.
Yeah, 1.5 points each way on Zach Johnson at 25-1. I've cut my stakes back on my final player here to 0.5 point each way because of the price mainly. I'm going Brian Harman at 50s this week. He's the other one that I liked. Admittedly, the price could be a little bit juicier than 50s, but he could have won this event last year, led by one going into the final round, and was eventually edged out by Bubba Watson. There shouldn't be a problem with his putting in this event. He ranks 8th in strokes gained putting this season, and he has made his last 5 cuts as well. Shot a pressure-free 63 to move up the leaderboard in Canada in his last round. That's the last round he played on tour. Made all 5 cuts in his 5 appearances at River Highlands, and I thought he was worth a few quid each way, Brian Harman at 50-1. So he's my second selection.
Yep. Okay, I would argue
Kevin Chappell's a better bet at 50s.
If you've read my mind, yeah.
Yeah, maybe so. Brian Harman, I suppose, has the course form where Kevin Chappell doesn't.
Yeah, I guess that's why their price is similar.
Yeah, if you were to say to me, who's the better player?
Who's Kevin the better Chappell player?
Well, Kevin Chappell is the better player out of him and Brian Harman, and that's why I like him for the event, but that's why I've reduced the stakes because he arguably should be a little bit bigger than 50s, perhaps. Who else did you like? Who came closest apart from the two guys you've gone for?
Well, at massive odds, I did look at Bryce Mulder because he's very, very good on Pete Dye tracks. He does sort of get up there without really... I think that he's better off in side markets, to be honest. Mm. He does rack up his share of top 10, so... I do like him. He's had 5 top 10s from 22 starts this year, which is a pretty decent strike rate.
He's 150-1, by the way.
Yeah, and you kind of think, well, imagine if he won and I just backed him for top 10, it would annoy me. But I think if you go through all his form, there's nothing to suggest why he would suddenly win.
Yeah.
I think you're far better backing him for top 10, even top 5. I found a quote where he says, I wait all year to get on bent grass green, so he does, you know, he does putt really well, doesn't he? That's his big strength.
It is.
So I do like him. I looked at Boo Weekly as another possible. He's won back-to-back at Harbour Town, Pete Dye track. Yep. He's had some nice form as well. He's got a 12th and an 11th his last 2 starts.
He's 100-1.
Yeah, so he could pop up. He could maybe run into a place, possibly.
I looked at Alex Chaker, who I do like. Alex
you do
Chaker,
like him,
but
don't
he's
you?
He's he can falter on Sundays sometimes, Alex Chaker. He's 150-1, but he's in pretty decent form, Alex Chaker, at the moment. And I also really rate Tyrrell Hatton highly, but he's 50-1 and he's not got quite that US tour experience, Tyrrell Hatton. But he's playing unbelievably, isn't he?
He's playing unbelievably. He was actually, I think, was he 25th in last year's USPGA as well? He's like done it twice now where he's done really well. But
he finished higher up than that this season, didn't he, I think? Did he finish... He was
in his top 10, didn't
he? Yeah, he was tied 7th, I think, wasn't he? Tyrrell Hatton. And this is going to sound like the after timing of the worst possible, in the worst possible sense, but I had him written down on my sheet last week for top Englishman again because I'd gone for that in the Open Championship.
Yeah.
I never mentioned it for some reason. And he did finish... I'm not lying, listeners. And he did finish tied... It was only a tie top Englishman with Paul Casey, who's in the field and was beaten in the playoff last year, wasn't he, Paul Casey, at 25-1. But Tyrrell Hatton at 50s, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he notched another... top 10 finish this week.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I think he's been collared by the handicapper a bit, hasn't he? He could wait maybe a week or two, or I don't know. I think a couple of bad events somewhere and he played somewhere like this, he'd be double the odds, wouldn't he? But
he's just going to win soon, though. I can see him winning soon. And yeah, sense it. And I think everyone senses it with his form, but it's just catching the right week at the right price, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is it at 50s.
No, I think there's too many sort of hardened US Tour pros will... I'll see for him this week.
Let's recap the selections then. Who's the player you don't want to win, first of all?
Right. I would probably say, well, I'd have to say Webb Simpson, but I do want him to win for you, but he's the one who was probably closest. He was third on my list, basically, so that's a decent method of saying you don't want him to win.
Yeah, I'd say Kevin Chappell as well, because I packed him last week, and I understand every angle you come from in terms of the quality of the player at 50-1, I get that. So maybe Kevin Chappell for me. Aberdeen Asset Management, Paul Laurie match play. This is easy. No selections for this event this week. Callum Shinquin was the closest for me at 25-1. Closest for you?
Nobody.
Nobody. And the Travellers Championship, your two selections?
Yeah, so I'm gonna do a point each way, Kevin Chappell at 50-1, and I'm going to go 1.5 points each way on Zach Johnson at 25s.
I'm going to go 1.5 points each way, Webb Simpson at 33-1, and 0.5 point each way on Brian Harman at 50-1. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, at D Kellner, at Dave Tindall Golf. And I think it will just be the two of us next week as well for the
Olympics.
For the big one, the Olympics. looking forward to that. So be back then to listen to us talk about, to ramble on about the Olympics.
I've actually got a good
week.
Bet in that.
Have you?
But I don't know what I should say now.
You know what? I think I might know who you're thinking of. So we'll mention it off air and then see if we match. Well,
what if
the
price has been halved by the next time we come on?
We'll mention it off air, not on air here. Do you think he's going to get cut?
Well, I just wonder. I can't see why he's the price he is.
I wonder if we're talking about the same man. We might be. We might not be. Anyway,
keep
we'll talk.
We can always tweet it or something.
Yeah, precisely. So we'll talk about the Olympics next week. Get your bets on for the Aberdeen Asset Management Paul Laurie Match Play and the Travellers Championship here with William Hill. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at D Kellner, at Dave Tindall Golf. Download this podcast via iTunes or audioboom.com just by typing in William Hill. And myself and Dave will be back next week. Good luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.